פרשת עקב. For clarification purposes, although my bar mitzvah was in Parashat Ekev, but my birthday is not until Heshvan. A lot of people sent me emails this week from around the world wishing me happy birthday, because they heard on a CD that I said that Ekev is my bar mitzvah. So they thought that since it's my bar mitzvah, it must be my birthday also. Not that they sent me any gifts or anything, they just wished me a happy birthday. One time, in one of the shiurim, I had mentioned that today's a great day, Rabotai. My wife just had a baby girl. I didn't announce it then. So when my daughter was 3 years old, I get a FedEx package from I don't know where. And it says in the package, you know, congratulations on the birth of the baby girl. And they sent me like a stretchy for the baby, like for an infant. The baby got to be this big. So I called the guy, I said, thank you for the item. He says, yeah, well, I heard the CD. I said, but the CD's 3 years old. Oh. Yeah, I heard online, it says the rabbi had a baby. I sent them a thing over there. So I want to introduce today's class by saying that I still have a very big mortgage on my house in Brooklyn. So if you want to pay the mortgage, is more than welcome. You never know, there's always a guy out there. The rabbi said that picture. You never know, it's worth it. It's worth it. There's a guy out there. Nobody over here.
It's going to take 3 years.
Nobody in our place, but somewhere else the guy was.
California.
There's a guy out there. Now pick up the rabbi's mortgage. I don't want anything. I'm just telling stories.
Just give that account number, though.
I'm just telling stories.
Direct deposit.
V'ayah ekev tishme'on. So what is this ekev tishme'on? So that she right away comes along and says, "Ima mitzvot hakalot she'adam dash ba'akevav." That this is talking about if you keep the mitzvot she'adam dash ba'akevav, that a person tramples with his feet. The simple interpretation is that there's certain mitzvot that people take for granted, that they abuse the mitzvot, that they take them lightly. So the pasuk is saying that if you keep the mitzvot, the ones that ekev the heels. But the ones that you trample on, talking during Hazara, talking during Kaddish, talking Lashon Hara, talking during Sefer Torah, these are mitzvot that people unfortunately abuse. They take for granted. They don't even think it's a big item anymore. On the contrary, everybody's talking in shul, so they think it's acceptable practice. So therefore the Torah comes along and says, if a person is careful even on these, thank you, Kenneth. If a person is careful, even on these mitzvot, Adam dash ba'akevav, that he trampled, then you're guaranteed all the other blessings. Like it says in the pasuk, "Ushmatem ba'asitem otav v'shamar Hashem Elohecha lechata berit." Very interesting. I use two sefarim to prepare sometimes the shiurim. One sefer is a sefer that they gave me called Kiddushat Zion. Kiddushat Zion is from the earlier rebbes of the Babov dynasty. And I use the other sefarim, one sefer, the new sefer that I bought, from Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen Me'izmir. Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen Me'izmir, they found some hadushim that he said on Parashat HaShavua. And amazing, one rabbi is coming from Europe somewhere, Poland, and the other rabbi is coming from Izmir, and they both miraculously said the exact same Hadush on the first Pasuk in the Parashah. You can't believe that. This is two different worlds. And basically they were mechaven to the same. And each one says, this is my item. And how is he going to know that somebody from Izmir is saying it? How does Rabbi Izmir know that somebody from Poland is saying it? What did they say? They said, what does it mean, dash ba'akebab? What does it mean, the mitzvot, that a person is dash ba'akebab, that he trampled? They said like this. If you remember a few weeks ago we read in the Parasha, it says that the Jewish people were traveling. So it says, Umimidbar Matana. That they went from Midbar, from the desert, to a place called Matana. So the Gemara's Doresh. What does it mean, Umimidbar Matana? גמרא מקס זה רשע. שמי שמשים את עצמו כמדבר, that whoever puts himself like a midbar, like a desert, שהכל דשין עליו, what happens in the desert? Everybody steps on the desert. Everybody steps on the ground. The desert is humble. מי שמשים את עצמו כמדבר, שהכל דשים עליו, so then it says, ומדבר מתנה. That God will give this person the Torah as a matana. I mean, the prerequisite for understanding Torah is humility. First, you have to be a midbar. It doesn't say you have to be a genius. Genius is not a prerequisite. It doesn't say IQ. On the contrary, a lot of the greatest tzaddikim, they were considered mediocre. For example, Shmuel HaNavi. When Hana was praying to Shmuel HaNavi, she said, I want somebody not too great, not too small, somebody in the middle. She prayed for a mediocre child. And look how great Shmuel HaNavi became. The prerequisite for greatness has to be what? Midbar. And what's the explanation? Then everybody gets the Torah as a matana. Then Borei Olam fills you in. Simple interpretation is, because the Torah is compared to water. Correct? When I want to fill a pool up, the higher the ground of the pool, the less water I can fill in. So if I want to get a lot of water in the pool, what do I have to do first? I have to dig very deep. That means the lower the area, the more it's able to contain. Similarly, when a person is low, so that Borei Olam is able to fill him up with more stuff. But a person's high, so then already the Torah only goes to the surface, shallow. You have to put yourself into the depths of anava, and now you're able to carry the Torah. Umimidbar, matana. And this is why humility is the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu's midot. Moshe, ve'ish Moshe anam mikol ha'adam. That's why the Torah was given on Sinai, Har Sinai, which is humble. That's why the story of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah, when he was when he saw the Caesar's daughter, and the Bihanah was uncomely. He wasn't handsome. He wasn't more than unhandsome. He was ugly, the Gemara says. So the Caesar's daughter said, Chokhmah mefo'eret b'chli mecho'ar, such glorious wisdom in such an ugly vessel. So the rabbi answered back that your father, where does he keep the wine? So she said, the wine? My father keeps an earthenware jug. So such delicious wine and earthenware, she keep it in gold and silver. So sure enough, she went and she told them, move it into gold and silver. The king asked for wine, vinegar, not a wine, oil. What's going on over here? They said, well, your daughter told us to go change the vat and put it into gold and silver. So they called the daughter in. Who told you to do this? This is the rabbi. That was the rabbi's fault. Remember that. That's what you're not going to get my eye. That was the rabbi's fault. So they called the rabbi. I didn't tell her. She asked me a question. I answered her. She asked me, why such glorious wisdom in such an ugly vessel? I said, where did your father keep the wine? That's all I said. She understood. Oh, my point was to her that sometimes those glorious things are kept in the most simple of vessels. Because the wine is, to preserve the wine, how do you have to preserve it? In a cheap vessel. But if you put it in an expensive vessel, it's spoiled. So far I was explaining that. Because, he says, I'm not handsome, so therefore I'm humble. And because I'm humble, therefore the Torah is able to rest in me. And he says, and if I was uglier, I would be even more smarter. Now, that doesn't say a person has to go to mitzvah to be ugly, for mitzvah. But a person, it's a mitzvah to be humble. Umimidbar, matana. So therefore, the Bireyalmi is mir, as well as the Kiddushat Siyon, he understands that when Rashi comes along and says, that if you're going to keep ha-mitzvot she'adam dash ba'akevam, the mitzvot that a person tramples with its feet. What is that? That's referring to the midbar. Because what does a person do in the midbar? The Gemara says, everybody tramples with it. She's dash ba'akevam means that you're humble, that even though you get trampled on, and even though people might step on the guy and all that, but like we say in the prayers every day, v'nafshi ke'afar nakol tehiyeh, that we're praying to God that we should be like afar. V'nafshi ke'afar nakol tehiyeh. One time I went to a guy, and I told him, you're a piece of dirt. So the guy says, how do you say that? You're a piece of dirt. I said, Mahila, don't you pray every day when a fika afana called to you? So your prayers came true, you're a piece of dirt. You say it in the tefillah. You say, "Menashika, Father, God, this." I want to say, "What a tzaddik you are!" Your prayers came true. They made you a piece of dirt. No, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean a piece of dirt. So you see, over there, what does it mean, "Menashika, Father, God, this"? It doesn't mean in the sense the way I call the guy a piece of dirt. Of course not. Piece of dirt means over here, meaning just like the afar, people step on it, and it still maintains its composure. That we should be humble. That even though people might not give us the proper respect and so on and so forth, that's one interpretation. So therefore, over here it's saying, if you keep the mitzvah ekid, that even though you're like afar, even though sometimes you get stepped on, even though you might not get the proper respect, but the surah comes along and says, you made yourself like a mitzvah, so what's the next pasuk say? Then God says, then God will make sure that the covenant which is the Torah will be preserved in you. Then already, God says, you do the Ekev and I'll do the Neshamah. So he says, if you look at the last letters on the words Tishmi'un, what's the last letter of Tishmi'un? Nun. What's the last letter of Et? Tap. What's the last letter of Hamishpatim? Mem. And what's the last letter of Ha'ele? He. So fete, what matana? Therefore he says, the pasuk is ending down. Naya, Ekev. At the end, so far it's going to lead to what? The matana, which is Ha'um Edvar, matana. So therefore that's another interpretation of the Ekev over here. That means that those that have humility are destined to become great in the study of the Torah. Beautiful. I mean, really, really beautiful. And they both say the same thing, which I thought was phenomenal. How can they both think of this hadush over here? But I came to say another hadush today on the Ekev. I came to say yet another hadush on the Ekev. What does it mean, Ekev Tishmi'un? Mitzvot she'adam das ba'akevav. So in order to understand, we need a few introductions on this parasha that we read. It says in the parasha here as well, V'yasid Adonai mimecha kol choli, that God is going to remove all disease from you. Ishtabach shemo la'ad. All the sickness is going to be removed. V'chol madvim Mitzrayim ala'im asher yada'ata, lo yisimam bach, untanam v'chol son echa. So my question was, God says, I'm going to remove from you all the sickness. Kol holy. And then it says, and all the sickness of the Egyptians, asher yadata, that you knew about, lo yisimam bach. What do you mean? Just said, I say, asher yadata, kol holy. Once you say, v'yasid asher yadata, kol holy, that's everything. There's nothing left. You covered everything. You covered the Egyptians, you covered the Persians, you covered the Greeks. So what does it mean over here? Now, not only that, but the Gemara says there's like 900 and some odd different sicknesses that are existing in the world that are deathly. It says the pasuk lamave tosaot. If you take the word tosaot, what's the gematria tosaot? Taf is 400, vav is 6, and tzadi is 90. That's 496. And then you have the taf again at the end is 896. And 896 and 7 is 903. So the Gemara says there's 903 different fatal diseases.
Does Zambam agree with that?
Zambam argues on the Gemara. What are you talking about? Zambam agree with that? What is Zambam arguing on the Gemara? The Gemara says 903. Zambam is going to say something else? The Zambam can argue on the Gemara. Zambam agree with it. What, did Dr. Fariwa agree with it? What are you asking me? What are you asking me? You're asking me the doctor. We're talking about over here the Gemara.
In other words, it was stupid.
They don't understand
us. Unbelievable. Okay, now I'm teaching you a lesson. But not more than the Gemara. Not more than the Gemara. So anyway, it says there's 903. So that's what God meant. V'yasid Hashem Emecha Kol Choli. And incidentally, by the way, the Gemara does say in another place that those that eat pat shacharit, if you have the breakfast in the morning, it saves the person from a lot of these diseases. The Gemara is very, very strict on eating breakfast. Pat shacharit, something in the morning, is very, 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 very healthy.
That's why they have these gigantic and early breakfasts.
Bidiuk, in Israel, vadai, vadai. They say breakfast like a king, and lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. That's the proper way of eating. The big breakfast, prince, mediocre lunch. Lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. That's the healthiest way of eating. But we do the opposite in America. In America, we eat breakfast on the run like a pauper. Lunch, the zor, we eat it all because they're busy. And then dinner, they eat like a king. And then they go to sleep. They go to sleep, and it's not good for the digestion. Anyway, so what's the point of it? That already God's going to get rid of all the disease. That's the 903 sicknesses. There's nothing left on the list. And the chod matveh mitzrayim. What's matveh mitzrayim? Whatever is matveh mitzrayim is included in kol holi. But that the Torah already puts it as a separate item. Lo yisim ambach untanam bechotzon echa. Okay, now, if we go further over here. So this is talking about over here that God's going to bless you, take away the diseases, there's going to be beracha, everything's going to be incredible over here. And then the pasuk writes, the Torah comes and says over here, in the middle of this story, how the Jewish people are going to be with all the blessings, lo yitzasif ish b'fanecha, nobody's going to stand against you. Take their idols and burn them in the fire. Don't take their money. And then the Torah is coming to tell us in this same parasha, which is about all the berachot. Torah says, "Isham elecha, v'tishkach et Adonai Elohecha." But be careful. Don't forget God. What do you mean, don't forget God? We're talking about over here, in the parasha over here, we're talking about everything's good. The people are listening. And then the same parasha that says, you're listening, it says, but I'm warning you, don't forget God. We don't forget, we didn't forget God. We're in the good parasha. And the Torah says, you're going to eat. And you're going to be satiated. You're going to build houses. Ubatim tovim, plural houses. One house over there, one house over there. Biyashavta. Karecha b'sonecha yirbiyu. You're going to have a lot of cars. Karecha. You're going to have a lot of sons. Bechesav b'zav yirbelach. And you're going to have a lot of money. Bechol asher lecha yirbeh. Everything you're going to have in excess. There's going to be a lot of excess. Beram levavecha. Your heart is going to become exalted. Beshachatat Hashem. And then what's going to happen? You're going to say, "Kochi ve'otzem yadi." Now, what does this mean over here? "Kochi ve'otzem yadi atali tahaylazeh." What do these words mean? "Kochi," my strength, good. And what's "otzem yadi"? Auto strength. So a guy's going to come along and say, "My strength and the strength of my hand, atali tahaylazeh," and without God, God in waiting. I did it. And I'm asking, what's the thing kohi and otzim yadi? Basically, the guy's going to come along and say at a certain point, after he makes his success, he's going to come and get drunk on his success, and he's going to come along and say, kohi and otzim yadi, asali et ahayla. There, not God, I did it myself, it was my handiwork, it was my know-how, it was my genius. So the Torah comes along and says, v'zakharta, hey, you better remember, God gives you the ability to succeed. Oh, you better remember that. So I'm asking a question. The pasuk kavog says you're going to say kochi ve'otzim yadi. You're going to say my koach and my otzim yadi. And then when God says, hey, you better remember that what? Yehu anoten lecha koach la'asot chayim. It should say, Whatever the guy's saying, God has to negate. So the guy says, Kuhim Ra'otim Yadi. So the Pasuk should come along and say, that God gives you the koach to make Chayim, Ra'otim Yad. Why in the God's response to the guy, there's no mention, I gave you the koach and the Otim Yad. What happened to the Otim Yad? But the Chayil, I have no problem, because he said, Kuhi ve'otim li asali ita chayil. Kuhi in chayil. So God said, hey, I'm the guy who said the God was the chayil. And ve'otim yad. So explanation is like this, Rabotai. Explanation is like this. It's possible. Many times in the Nevi'im, we read how the Jewish people worship Abu Dazara. And everybody's wondering, how can it be they worship Abu Dazara? It makes no sense. These people were so religious, and they had so much Torah, and there was and every Monday and Thursday they worshiped another Abu Dazara, and God had to send the enemies to kill them, and they made teshuvah. The whole book of Shofetim, the book of Judges, it's the same story over and over. God brought the judge. And then the people worshipped Abu Dazara, and the enemies came and attacked them, and God, so I appointed the judge to save them, and then they fell back into Abu Dazara, and they had it. It's the same story written 15 times in the Shofetim. And you're always wondering, if you were around, you think you'd worship Abu Dazara? Of course not. Who's going to go now and say, this is my God? It doesn't make any sense. We cannot understand the rationale of somebody worshipping Abu Dazara. Because we are under the impression that we think that Abu Dazara means that you're worshipping the statue as if the statue created the world, or the statue created it. No. Abu Dazara means that you're giving importance to something that's not important. Which means you're over-prioritizing something and giving it credence. You're giving it a bigger value than it really is. It's very possible that a person can be very religious, wear talit and tefillin every single day. You can put out two tefillin if you want. And he keeps kemach yasham and halav yisrael and all that other stuff. And Bishul Israel, and he doesn't eat bugs, and all the other things that the religious people do. He's very, very careful about all this stuff over here. He's meticulous. But at the same time, they can be worshipping Abu Dazara on a daily basis. Impossible. How can you be so religious and worship Abu Dazara? You want to tell me you can be religious and speak Lashon Hara? People make mistakes when they speak Lashon Hara. You want to tell me a guy can be very religious? Sometimes he looks at things you're not supposed to look at. Okay, it happens, so people make mistakes. But you tell a guy to be religious and then go to the extreme of worshiping Abu Dazara? Can't be that going to be. The explanation is that the over prioritization, the over consumption, where a person is totally just obsessed, obsession with money, the obsession with stuff, the obsession with geshmiyut, the obsession of making money. That already can lead a person to the biggest Abu Dazara. That a person can go to shul and pray, and then he can come along and say that, but I'm making my money. The money that I made is my doing. I bought it, I sold it, I pulled the move, I went, I found the way out, I did the hadush. What a move I did, I bought these goods. How smart was I bought these goods? I knew these goods were going to be the item, and I was able to... And then the guy goes, Menha! And then after he closed the book, I say, Menha, this is my God. And then he comes back, and so at the same time that he's praying to God, but he's worshiping Abu Dazara, because he thinks that all his monetary success, and he's going after it, and he's saying, this is my koach, like the story is told of the fellow The rabbi came into the shul and was collecting tzedakah. So he went up to one of the guys, and the guy took out a $100 bill, and he gave, he put it in the box. So they were very, very impressed. The guy's a generous guy, $100. And all of a sudden, as the guy was going around, he put the box down for a minute to do something. The same guy that put the $100 in, he took the box, and he poured the money into his pocket. So they told the guy, well, you just gave the guy $100, and now you put it in the... I'm a religious guy. I love giving charity more than anything in my life. It's one of the mitzvot in the Torah. But by trade, I'm also a thief. That's what I do to make a parnassah. So giving charity, that's God. But business is business. Business is business. What am I doing here? This is my business over here. What does God do? What does one thing do with the other? Tzedakah, give tzedakah. I give $100. But what, you don't want me to make a parnassah? How am I supposed to live over here? He says, God is God and business is business. Moses is Moses, business is business. So you see over here, you see over there, it's possible that a person can be living in both places. And we see it today, it's true. Because if a person really has understanding that a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the business and Hashem runs the world properly, so there would be a lot of less fighting amongst the business people. And a lot of less that competitiveness where people are trying to kill each other and fight. It would be more, not saying you have to lie down and play dead. Of course the person has to make a statute. But with that underlying understanding that Hashem runs the world and Hashem is in control, the problem is that people don't believe that. That people go into the business saying, this is my domain. Once they leave the shul, they have a box for the kippah. They drop the kippah in the box, finish. At this moment over here, we leave God in the shul. God's in the Beit Knesset. And now we go out and we do our item over there. And therefore, the Torah is telling us over here a very important yesod. The Torah is telling us like this. If a person believes that his money comes from God, it's easy for him to give tzedakah. I'll tell you why. Because if you believe somebody comes and gives you a gift, if I come and give you $1 million and I say, Steve, but I'm giving you $1 million, but as a recommendation, if you give 10% back to the synagogue. So a smart guy says, the rabbi just gave me $1 million. He's asking me to do something. Now if I don't do it, I'm jeopardizing the whole gift. If I give the 100, who knows, maybe give me another million tomorrow and say give it to the yeshiva. It's good. When a person realizes that it's a gift, so he wants to give in order that the giver will give him more. But if a person comes along and says, what gift? What gift? I went to work every day. What gift? Nobody gave me nothing. I worked my bare hands. I went to work early in the morning till late at night. Why do I have to give my money to tzedakah? Why should I give something that I earned myself to a freeloader? To somebody that did nothing. One of the underlying reasons why people don't give charity is because they believe they did it. And therefore you have people that talk, why should I give my hard-earned money? Now, I'm not arguing that it's not hard-earned. Everybody's money is hard-earned. Very few people have, a life of a Yerusha and they just sit back and do nothing. The money is hard-earned, but so slow down. The money is harder, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gave it to you. And therefore the Pasuk says, V'zachartaki, you anotin necha ko anotot chayim. But what is the Pasuk saying like this? V'abarta bin babecha. Kofi ve'otzim yadi. What does otzim mean? Otzim can mean strength. But otzim can also mean the clothes. Like the Pasuk says, ve'otzim enav lir'ot berah. Atimat enayim. What is atimat enayim? The closing of the eyes. La'atom enayim is to close the eyes. Otzim yadi means the closing of the hand. The guy comes along and says, Kohi, since it's my strength and my money, the otzim yadi, that's why I close my hand. I gotta give nothing. I give nothing. That's what the guy's saying. The guy's gonna come along and say, Kohi, because it's my Kohi, therefore otzim yadi. Therefore, I don't have to open my hand for nobody. So what is God going to come along and say? Zakarta ki huanotin lecha koach laasot hayil. God's not going to come along and say ki huanotin lecha koach ve'otzim yad. No, God doesn't give otzim yad. You did the otzim yad. The otzim yad came from your own free will. God says, I gave you the koach laasot hayil. You chose to deny the hayil, therefore you make otzim yad. God doesn't say, I gave you otzim yad. You did that yourself. So therefore what happens? The person comes along at the same time that he's acting in a religious manner part of the day. In his business life, there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between God and the business. Like I told you many times, the Pasuk says, Baruch atah ba'ir. What does it mean, Baruch atah ba'ir? You should be blessed in the city. So the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, blessed in the city? What has to happen to me to be blessed in the city? So the Gemara says, "Shiyehe betcha samuch lebet kineset." That if a person has a house and the house is in walking distance to the bet kineset, know that you're blessed. Know that you have a blessing. We take it for granted because everybody over here is blessed. But you go to some of these far out places. The guy says, "The closest I know a guy lives in Palm Beach. He says the closest synagogue is 9 miles." 9 miles. The Orthodox synagogue. So they have to rollerblade there. Take, oh no, how do you get there? How are you going to get there on Shabbat? How are you going to get there on Shabbat? 9 miles? During the week, we drive. But on Shabbat, so wow, I mean, you're not blessed. You don't have a blessing. Even you could be living on Palm Beach. He has a waterfront property. He sees the ocean every single day. But he's not blessed. Because Baruch HaTeh Ba'ir is not on the location of the regard to the beach. The Baruch HaTeh Ba'ir doesn't say Sheyeh Bet Knesset Samuch Sheyeh Betcha Samuch LeChof HaYam. It says Sheyeh Betcha Samuch LeBet HaKnesset. That's the item. That's the proximity. So he's not blessed. Even if you'd walk into the guy's house, you'd say, wow, what a house. And come look at the view. You go look at the bay window overlooking the ocean, Palm Beach, you go crazy. So the guy, by the way, where's the Bet Knesset? 9 miles away. Arur atah ba'ir, arur atah b'sadeh, arur atah b'mo'echa, arur atah b'sesecha. The guy's a curse. Why can you call that a curse? Because we don't judge curse the way you judge a curse. The Torah decides to us what's considered blessing and what's considered curse. We don't know what curse is, Beraka. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the guy that's far from the Bet Knesset, what's going to end up happening? His children are not going to go up next to the Bet Knesset. And once they don't grow up next to the Bet Knesset, who they grow up next to? To the Goyim. And Bar Minan, all of a sudden, what does the guy have to show? You come to the guy's house 10 years later, and he has 6 daughters-in-law that are Goyot. And he's showing you the ocean. He said, what ocean? What are you showing me, the ocean? This is the kid, like what happened over there. The rabbi, how right were the rabbis? Therefore, you have to always buy a house next to the synagogue. Now, that's simple interpretation. But we once said a deeper interpretation. We always say it, but we're saying it now in regards to today's derash. What does it mean, Shiyeh Betcha Samuch LeBet HaKnesset? That your house should be next to the Bet Knesset. In the Bet Knesset, that's where we have the proper Jewish values. In Bet Knesset, that's where we have religion. Bet Knesset, that's where we have God. The Hadush of the Gemara is saying, Shiyeh Betcha Samuch LeBet HaKnesset. The values that you have outside the house, outside the shul, should be close to the values that you have in the shul. Shiyeh Betcha Samuch LeBet HaKnesset. That you shouldn't have one set of standards in the Bet Knesset, and then a second set of standards outside the Bet Knesset. No, now I'm in shul, now we shake, and we go crazy and all that, and then we leave, and you're also shaking people down. Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're always shaking. This is all you're shaking. Now you come along and say, no, Shiyeh Betcha Samuch LeBet HaKnesset. We agree. You're not going to have the exact values in your business like in the shul. But shul, at least Samuch. At least it'd be close. Shouldn't be schizophrenic. Shouldn't be Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. That the same guy in the Bet Knesset, you cannot recognize him in the business. You know, oh, the guy in business is a different animal. The guy is a different creature. No, there's no simichut. What happens in the business? That's why we said that la'atid lavo, when they're going to ask the person, the first question they're going to ask them, natata ve'natata be'emuna, simply means, did you transact honestly? The one, did you transact honestly in business? But the word emuna also means what? say?
They're going to ask the person, Nasata v'natata v'emuna. When you went to bed, did you have emuna? Did you have trust that God is the one that's noten lecha koach la'asot chayim? Or did you believe that everything is you, and everything is your handiwork, and everything is your energy? And one of that same question is based on the other interpretation, because a person who is noten v'noten b'emuna, it's easy to be noten v'noten b'emuna, meaning honestly. Because the guy who thinks it's him, so he's got to cheat, and he's got to do all types of trickeries in order to make an extra dollar. But if a person says, Hashem's giving me what? So what? If God's giving it to me, why do I have to take his b'isud and give it to the b'hetir? Like we say in the Birkat HaMazon, v'yifarneseinu b'chavod, v'lo b'isud, b'hetir, v'lo b'isud. What does it mean b'hetir, v'lo b'isud? You have to tell God to give it to me b'hetir? God does not have to give it to me b'hetir? What are you telling God? Please God, if you have to give me the panasa, please, I know you're religious, so please give it to me beheter. I don't want you to give it to me beisur. You're telling God what to do? God doesn't have to give me beheter between. Imagine you tell God, please, you're giving me food, but please, it should be kasher. Bet yourself, please. Are you questioning me? What is it? I'm going to give you taref? I'm God. That's a beheter. So that's why some people skip it. Yes, no, give it. What are you telling God? Of course, God's going to give it to you beheter. That's why they don't skip it. They say, why? You're praying to Borei Olam. Borei Olam doesn't interfere with your free will. Borei Olam doesn't interfere with your free will. God says, you want to do whatever you want, whatever. I just follow what the guy wants. So you're praying to God, give me the wisdom that I should seek my panasa beheter velo beisur. That I shouldn't resort to... Because you're going to give me the panasa regardless. You're going to give it to me. But I don't want it to come from the sitra hara. I want it to come from Sitra de Kedusha. So therefore, give me the ability that it should come beheter, that I shouldn't have to resort to all sorts of fooling around. Understand? But a guy who believes, Ibn Otsim Yadi, so this is the guy that falls. This is the guy that falls in Abu Dazara. And therefore, he doesn't give tzedakah. Kohei, Otsim Yadi. What am I going to give for? But the guy that believes that it's God, so therefore he says, hey, if God gave me a gift of pandasa, let me give something back, so give me some more. It's coming from God, so I want to appease him. I want to make sure that, I take care of it. I want to make sure that he shows that I'm making the money to give it back to him. Oh, with this, the Gemara says about the Benu HaKadosh. There was a great rabbi called the Benu HaKadosh. The Benu HaKadosh was very wealthy. The Gemara says he was so wealthy, the Benu HaKadosh, that he used to have winter vegetables in the summer and summer vegetables in the winter. That's a sign of wealth. Today, everybody's wealthy on that because we have imports and all that. Today, you could have watermelon in the winter and you could have all summer vegetables. Today, there's import. But in those days, where are you going to get this from? Only the very, very wealthy people, when you went to their house in the winter, they're serving you cantaloupe and watermelon. Where'd you get this from? No, we got it from Colombia. We import. It's a Kuwait import. There's no importing of it today. It's 1,000 years ago. They say that Benu HaKadosh was so well, he had shifahot and this and this. At the end of his life, what does he say? Before he dies, he lifts his hands up. Right. He says, Rabotai, God is my witness. I didn't have any hana'ah in these 10 fingers, even from the smallest pinky. I didn't have any hana'ah. And I asked a simple question. What do you mean you didn't have hana? You didn't eat? You never ate? The miracle didn't do my clothes? What do you mean? It's very nice to say that. Guy's coming along and at the end of his life, very well, I never had any hana. And by the way, what do you have to pick up his hands for? We don't need the drama. Put the hands down. Put the hands down. What did you have to lift his hands up? We understand the statement without the drama. We don't have to play charades over here. He lifted his hands up and he said, God is my witness. I never had hana, even from the small finger. The Rebbe Rekha wasn't saying he didn't have any pleasure from his wealth. Of course he had pleasure from his wealth. The Botaya said, hey, he must have. What he's saying is that I never took the credit that what I did with these hands over here was me. That's because I didn't have hana, even from the smallest, nothing that I take any credit for. That everything that happened over here was Borei Olam. That's why he lifted it, because the hands represent the work. The hands represent Ma'asei Adam. He was lifting his hands up to say, none of this that I take any pleasure for myself. I recognize that all this was from the Borei Olam. Understand what I'm saying? And that's why we have a custom. It's more than a custom, it's halakha. What does the person do before he sits down to eat a sa'udah? Very good. He washes. Nitilat yadayim. No, what does he do before he washes? Before he washes, he says, I think the bread is mizonot. He argues first. I think it's mizonot. I think it's mizonot. You think it's mizonot? I think it's mizonot. It's mizonot to me. So how are you going to know? There's only one way you can know. You have to call the waiter. Call the waiter. Is this mizonot? And the guy said to me, he just came from Mexico yesterday. The guy said, mizonot. Oh, he said, mizonot. 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 Because he knows. No, because the guy is from Mexico. They know. In Mexico, they teach him all the laws of mizonot. The hardest halachot is Shulchan Aruch. Which is Gedolim don't know these halachot. The guy is a Mexican waiter. And all he does is have to think. He doesn't have to say, he just has to pause for a second. He doesn't even know. Okay, mizonot. So anyway, so after you fight for a couple of minutes, is it mizonot or not? He said, you know what? Let me go wash. Let me go wash. Let me get out of this debacle. So he goes to wash. Now, what do you do when you're washing? You make the tzatz yadayim. The custom is, what do you say? It's your tzatz yadayim. What is this? What is this? You're lifting your hands up. The explanation is, you're just about to eat a seudah. And all the food's on the table. Everything's over here. So a guy might have some ga'ava in his head to come along and say, who eats like this? Look at this over here. Eating in a fancy restaurant. The guy might think, you know, it pays to work hard. You get to enjoy all these benefits of life. And the guy starts to think, and he's looking around. All the hashavim are sitting around in the restaurant with him. There's a gay couple over here, and there's a couple over there. They're sitting over next to him. Yes, oh, who gets to go to these exclusive restaurants besides me? The guy feels good about himself. And all of a sudden, Hashem says, oh, before you sit down to eat, you have to lift your hands up to come along and say, the hands belong to God. What is over here? The Nitirat Yadayim is the reverse of Kuhi Ve'otzim Yadi. Kuhi Ve'otzim Yadi comes along and says, this is my hand. But before you sit down to eat, you open your hands. You open your hands, you come along and say that this is belonging to the Borei. So that's what Abinu HaKadosh meant. When he lifted his hands up, he came along and said, even from a pinky, I didn't have any hana'a. Which means I didn't take any of the credit of all this operation that was done. It's a great kavanah, they're dying, but dying. And that's why, based on what we're saying now, you understand, poteach yadecha. Which means, simply means God is poteach his hands in order to give us parnasa. But when a person recognizes that umasbiya lechol hayta, so that God is the masbiya, so poteach, you open your hands now. Meaning, you don't have to be otzim yadi. It's easy to open your hands if you realize masbiya lechol hayta, so on. But you cannot open your hands if you think that it's yours. Why should I give something that's mine to somebody else?
Mine.
So therefore, the pasuk says in the Tehillim, we say it in the Hallel. The pasuk says, "Atzav behem kesef bezahav, maaseh yede adam." What is atzav behem? Atzav behem means avodah zarah. Atzav behem is another way, is a fancy, complex way of saying avodah zarah. What was the avodah zarah that the Torah spoke about? The atzav behem kesef bezahav. They turn the money, kesef is zahav. How can money become an avodah zarah? Asher them kesef is zahav, ma'aseh yedei adam. That was the avodah zarah. Not that they worship the money. Nobody worships the money. Although somebody wants to ask me, how can a person bow down to gold and silver? I said, go in the morning, sometimes on Sunday morning, you see a guy on his knees cleaning his car. The guy's bowing down to the kids of his arm. The guy's bowing down to Haman. The guy's cleaning the hubcap. What is he doing over there? The hubcap is so poor that you're going to bend over to the hubcap over there. There was one rabbi when he used to eat soup. He used to sit like this. And the soup would go on his shirt and his beard like the minhag. And he's eating like this. So they told him, Haman, why don't you go like this? He says, I should go to the soup. So don't guess me. Let the soup come to me. It's a mentality. Whatever. I should bend down to the soup over here. I'm machnia myself to the soup over here. Wow. I stay where I am. The soup will come to me over here. No soup is worth it for me to bow to it. So therefore, the pasuk is saying, "Asavim kesef zahav." But what do you mean? The avodah zarah was kesef zahav. Ma'aseh de adam. That's the avodah zarah. That they said, all this gold and silver. Guy comes, takes you to his house. Look what I built. Now he's right. He's allowed to say it. He built it. You're right. But somewhere in the conversation, he has to say, "Ishtabach Shem Ola'at, Toda La'el, Hadda Hashem, what, I don't deserve this." But when a guy just comes along and says, "And then I bought this, and I flipped it, and I sold it," hey, I don't hear, I'm talking to you for 25 minutes already, I don't hear God. No, I'm getting to it. Anyway, I just finished talking about myself first. And after an hour and a half, you have to go already. You have to go already. The guy said, "I'm getting to it." So the guy never got to it. So you always have to, that's the beginning you have to say. You say, "Wow, what a beautiful art." Ishtabach Shem Ola'at. So Hashem is good to us. No such thing as Kohi, Ba'otim Yadi. So this is what the Torah is saying when it says by Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu, it says he had the guests come over to his house. Watch, eh? So watch what happens. Avraham Avinu had guests that came to his house, the Arabs. So what does the Pasuk say? The three Arabs came to Avraham Avinu's house. So it says, he gave them water. He says, "You can't let me out, take some water. And go wash your feet." What's the explanation? Why wash your feet? What kind of protocol is that? You're going to tell the guy some water, go wash your feet? So it says because the Arabs, the Greeks in those days, they used to worship the Avak Sheberaglehim. They used to worship the dust that was on their feet. So Abraham is, "You want to come into my house first, you got to get rid of the Abu Dazara. This is what I'm interested in. This stuff. You got to get rid of the Abu Dazara. I go clean your feet over there, and that's it." And one of the rabbis asked a simple question. What kind of Abu Dazara? You worship the dust that's on your feet? You want to worship Abu Dazara, build the Taj Mahal, build some sort of, palace or something? You worship the Afash, but I get the hand. The explanation is, he said, one of the rabbis, beautiful interpretation. He said the Hiddush is that in the olden days they used to worship their efforts. What does he mean, Afar Shibalaglehem? When a person goes to work, his feet kick up dust. He's going to work, he's running, he's going, he's doing. The guy's running all day long. And what happens? As you're running, the afar goes the Naglehem. When a person would come home from work in the olden days, you'd see his feet were filled with dirt. His wife would say, "Wow, you must have had a busy day today. I see you ran from this place. Oh, I had a custom over there, then I went over there." That's what it means. They worship afar shebe Naglehem, which means they worship their own efforts. They worship their own initiatives. They worship the Abbas. Like I said, "You see this Abbas? That's my item." So Avraham Avinu said, "Oh, in this house over here, we don't worship anything Abbas. All that energy that you put and all that haslaha that you went, it's all from Nebarek Sha'achel." That's why at the end of the meal, they couldn't understand it. At the end of the meal, when they went to Avraham's house, Avraham said, "Okay, now you have to thank the one that gave you the food." They would tell Avraham, "Nevarech l'Avraham she'achanu mishelo." They would tell Avraham, "Nevarech." So Avraham said, "What? What? Nevarech l'Avraham? Nevarech l'Elohenu she'achanu mishelo." So they would say, "L'Elokenu, who's L'Elokenu?" That was his opening to give them the zirash. He didn't give them the zirash right away. First he fed them, he gave them, he spoiled them, he did everything with them. At the end of the meal, he would say, "Okay, derech eretz, give thanks. Nevarech l'Avraham." "Avraham, you think I gave you all this over here? I prepared it, yes, I served. But this is the blessing of God. Elokeinu she'achanu mishelo. Who's Elokeinu? You remember when you came in, I made you clean the dust off you? That's also Elokeinu. That's also from God. This has nothing to do with your own effort. Understand the depth over here?" Oh, so based on this, we go back to explaining the Pesukim over here. When Borei Olam blesses us from the Kohanim, for example, we say Yibarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. So Yibarecha, what does it mean?
Bemamon.
Excellent, Bemamon. And what does v'yishmerecha mean? You should be protected. Which means if you have a lot of money, Yibarecha, you need protection from the thieves. You need protections from the shalichim, that they shouldn't come and take all your money. So therefore, what does it mean, Yibarecha Hashem v'yishmenecha? It simply means that, listen, once you have money, you need to have protection. I saw one of the wealthiest guys in the world. And I was with his house once in Mexico. How's the guy go to shul? He has a bodyguard in front of him, a bodyguard behind him. Two bodyguards over here, and cars all over the place. And what are we doing over here? We're going to shul. Why? How come when I go to shul, I don't have to have all these bodyguards? Because Yibarechichat comes with a v'yishmerecha. The people want his money. And therefore, the people want to get him. So with the Yibarechicha, you have to pray that you have v'yishmerecha. Some people will say, you know what? I'm not interested in all this mammon. I'm not interested in it. You'll be a simple guy. Nobody knows me. I'm off the radar. I don't need all this. But this is what you need. You need a protection. With the money comes protection. Nobody ever breaks into the Ani's house. They don't break into the Ani's house.
Take his wife.
What are they going to take over? Nah, they're just in the Ani's house. They're interested in the Ani's house. One time there was a strike in the city. The rubbish guys went on strike. So all the people had garbage, rubbish, and nobody's taking the rubbish. So my grandfather, Rav Shalom, Joseph, he was a smart guy. What did he do? He took all the garbage and he put it in shipping boxes, and he taped it and he put labels and stamps on it, and he would put it in front of his warehouse or his store on Broadway. So now the Abid walked by. They go, look at this. The guy forgot goods in the thing. They grab it. Every day, he got a free gun to take in the garbage. So one day, the Abid comes into my grandfather's store. He tells him, hey, what do you sell, garbage? For a week, he's taking all the garbage. What do you sell, garbage? You have to figure out a way. That's all
right.
So you see over here, from the Ani, what is it? The garbage is going to take from him? Garbage is recycling. Even though today they go to the Ani, they can recycling. But in the olden days, the Ashir has the one that has the risk. He's the one that has vulnerable. He's vulnerable. So therefore, we say Yibarech Hashem, Yishmenecha. But the depth of it is like this. Yibarech Hashem. Before the guy had any money, he believed in God and all that. All of a sudden, once he starts to get money, and if I wouldn't have done that, then I'm smarter than that guy. So therefore we say, v'yishmerecha, from yourself. God should protect you from yourself. That's where you need the protection from, that you shouldn't destroy yourself because I gave you all this money. Because a person could get all this money, and all of a sudden the guy, he committed suicide with them. I mean, meaning he lost God. The guy himself has to protect himself from himself. You shouldn't be the one that hurts yourself because I gave you all this money. And what's that? But after recognize everything comes from this is the lesson. Now let's go back to our story over here. Let's go back to our story over here. And our story over here in the parasha, the pasuk says like this. When the Jewish people were in Egypt, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro and says, listen, you got to let the people go. Moshe Rabbeinu explains to Paro, listen, this was a gezerah that God gave to Avraham Avinu many years ago. We fulfilled the exile. Hashem said, certain amount of years, then we're going to go out. Now, he told me that the time is up, and that we're going to go. Now, if Paro believed in God, he would say, this was all from Hashem, and therefore, the time is up. Hashem came to you, and he knows he's a godly man. Nobody can deny that Moshe is not a spiritual man. He would say, okay. Anyway, it wasn't about me, this exile. It was about God's gezerah. But what is Paro come along and say, oh, you're talking different language. Lo yadati et Hashem. I don't know God. Let me God. You're telling me that the Jewish people in Egypt, because God... Stop. The Jewish people in Egypt, because I enslaved them in Egypt. And I'll tell you exactly how I got them in this situation, with genius plan. I coaxed them into it. I paid them the first day. I figured out how much bricks they could make. Once already, I figured out each guy's quota, I stopped paying them. And they told me, no, we don't know how to make any more bricks. What do you mean? Have you down for 1,000 bricks already? We know how much you can make. We figured it out. And therefore, I coaxed them, and I did. You think another king can keep a nation for 200 years in slavery? You think it's so easy to keep it? Where's the rebellion? Where's the uprising? Where's the protest? Nothing. The Jewish people, they're here, they're locked into a prison. Nobody escaped. Nobody escaped in 210 years. And you're going to come and tell me, God? Where's God? I don't see God. Look at that, Yad Hashem. This is the story of Paro. So Borei Olam comes along and says, he doesn't know that it's me. This was Paro's mistake. Paro's mistake was Kohei Be'otim Yadi. Understand? So what does God have to do? Okay, let me reveal myself just a little. Dam, Sefardaya, Kinim. All of a sudden, the guy's getting hit from left, right, you know, on the right hook, left hook, smash, knock him out. By the end, what happens to Paro, after he got beaten up with all the makot, at the end, he comes along and starts to, you know, to confess. He starts to say, okay, Hashem HaTzadik, Va'aniv Amir Sha'in. All of a sudden, he's talking a different talk. But what, it had to come through makot. It had to come through difficult Borei Olam saying, Be'ezat Hashem, you're going to have a lot of beracha. You're going to have tremendous. V'ahebecha, uberachecha, v'herbecha, uberach pri betnecha, pri admatecha, v'ganecha, tiroshecha, v'yitzarecha, shigar alafecha, v'asherot sonecha. You're going to have everything. And v'yitzir Hashem emecha kol choli. The 903 fatal diseases, gone. But then there's one more disease. That disease that plagued the Egyptians, that they felt that all of their success is theirs. And as a result, I had to give them makot. As a result, I had to give them dam and sefadeya and kini. That is a separate, that's a spiritual malady. That's the physical disease. That's in the encyclopedia. But the Bechod Madven, Mitzrayim, Ara'im, those diseases were as a result of Paro's stubbornness to recognize that there's no God. So the Pasuk, Untanam Bechod Son Echa. That type of disease belongs to the enemies, which means the enemies believe that they're able to do what they want against God. Untanam Bechod Son Echa. But you, the real blessing is that not only will you have prosperity, not only you have Beracha, but you'll recognize that the beracha is only, you're not going to be like Paro, God said, I'll remove that matzvah mitzvayim from you. It's a sickness. It's the worst sickness. That's the sickness that a person, before he made money, he was religious. He believed in God. And all of a sudden, after he made money, he got sick. Now he comes along and says, look what I did, look what I have. Therefore, don't ask me for what. I give you charity. It's my money. Why should I go to shul? I don't need to go to pray to God. I have the money over here. That's what the pasuk says in the Gemara. And this pasuk, lo yeh becha akar v'akara. It says, Lo Yebecha Akar literally means you will not be barren. So what the Gemara explains, Lo Yebecha Akar, that your prayers will not be barren. So what does it mean your prayers won't be barren? Because if the person makes all this money over here, he comes, what do I have to pray for? Shavat Aniim Atatishma. The Aniim have to pray, but Shavat Ashirim, I never heard of. Shavat Ashirim don't have to pray to God, what am I praying for? But he doesn't realize he has to pray for maintenance. He has to pray that it doesn't, that the Berachah doesn't leave him. What do you have a contract with God? You signed a contract that the Berachah will last for 100 years? Maybe the beracha is dependent on tefillah. So the pasuk says, "Vechol matvim mitzrayim maraim atzurada." And this is the way I want to interpret the beginning of the parasha.
Good one.
All good. Vaya ekev tishmeon. All good. Vaya ekev tishmeon. So what does Rashi say? Mitzvot she'adam dash ba'akevav. What does it mean? The mitzvot she'adam dash. When a person goes to work every morning, that's the mizrash who dash ba'akevav. When you're in the bit mizrash, you're not dash ba'akevav. The mizrash, you're sitting. So I sit to this chair, you dash ba'akevav, maybe back and forth to the coffee urn, back and forth a few times a day.
No, dash.
But you're sitting. Uh-huh. But not moving. When does the guy dash ba'akevav? When the shiur is over, then you run to the train, and then you run to the office, and you're running to an appointment, and you're running to the orient. The mitzvot she'adam dash ba'akevav, that's referring to his business, his livelihood. Borei Olam says, Vaya ekev tishmi'um. That if you follow the principles, not at the time you're in the Bet Knesset, that's of course, it's a no-brainer. That's Bet Knesset, the rules are easy. But when you dash ba'akeba, when you're leaving the Bet Knesset and you're trampling on, and you're fulfilling the mitzvah, you don't worship the dirt that's on your feet. You don't come home along and say, see that? That's me. Look at all that work over here. See these blisters over here? That's my handiwork. Oh, slow down, slow down, slow down. Yeah, you definitely made your ishtadut. We don't deny that. You definitely made ishtadut. But you want to tell me, God says, once already you can keep the mitzvot of Ekev, that means the mitzvot of the business. And you remind yourself that it's not yours, and it's Hashem giving it to you as a gift, and there's no otzim yad. If you want to tell me, God calls us, Borel says, the biggest barakah I can give you is Madvim Mitzray Marayim. Those diseases that came on the Egyptians because they said, Lo Yadati Hashem Untanam Bechoson Echa. Lo Yisim Ambach. God says, I'm not going to put them on you. And therefore, it's possible. It's possible for a person to be very, very religious in one part of the day, and in other part of the day, be schizophrenic. And to be like a split personality, a dual personality, where the person comes along and he forgets the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the key blessing of this parasha. Not only, like we said, from the Kiddushat Tzion and from the Rabbi Eliyahu Izmir. Ekev means you should be humble. Dash. Be like the ground. Midbar Matana. The humble man has, Torah has given to him as a gift. But the depth of it is saying that the mitzvot that you do with your ekev and your travelings and your goings, at the end of the day you have to say this is from the Morel. Then, the pasuk says Neshamar, Hashem Elohecha, God's going to protect you with the berit, with the chesed, and all the other blessings that follow. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.